Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Flashcast, a podcast review of the CW's The Flash. I'm Stephen Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
And we are part of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen. You can find us on Facebook. That's the League of Ordinary Gents, G-E-N-T-S. Or on YouTube, where we have our own podcast and a show called Office Hours. You can go ahead and go to YouTube and search for League of Gents, G-E-N-T-S. So, we're here for filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. And if you're new to the podcast, let me give you a quick rundown. So every week we're going to be talking about the latest episode of The Flash. We're going to be giving predictions and talking about what we just saw. And if you want to get in contact with us, go ahead and shoot us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's film-book.com with the title Flashcast in the subject line. So this week we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 4, The Fury of Firestorm. All right, Christian, so what do we got?
So just to run up to speed right now, we have Professor Stein, who out of nowhere is just starting to burst into flames. They're starting to realize that they need a settled body that he can actually merge with. And this pretty much is the main episode that pertains to them finding that other half of Firestorm.
His better half, some would say.
Yes.
Most of the episode took place with the search of kind of like someone to stabilize Professor Stein now that Ronnie's gone. Mm-hmm. So most of the episode took place from that point of view. And although we did get some interesting little subplots, but we'll get to those in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So starting off the episode, we see this character playing football, and this is before the accident at Star Labs. So as he's playing the game, all of a sudden the explosion happens. You see this huge wave of energy, and it hits him right into a wall. So this character is revealed to be Jefferson Jackson. Mm-hmm. And he'll play kind of a role later on in the episode, but it kind of shifts from right there at the beginning, and then it goes right into what's going on at Star Labs. Now, one of the things that I found interesting is that the fact that they kept Firestorm around, because it almost seems like, well, especially in the first season, I guess it made sense that the character kept leaving and they would find him from time to time. But now that he's there, it sort of seems like, well, I don't know, he doesn't fulfill too big of a role at the moment.
No, but he is more the scientific mind that it kind of fills the void of Harrison since his untimely departure, a.k.a. him dying being erased from existence. But he fills that role a little bit, not a huge pivotal role as in training the Flash, like how Harrison Wells did.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, he doesn't fill the role Harrison Wells did, as in he doesn't really, I can't say help too much.
No, he really doesn't.
But he isn't too utilized as a character, at least at the moment.
It really isn't. It's just they pretty much use him for his mind, which is actually really great. And as soon as this accident started happening where his body's becoming unstable, this is where it actually makes him more of an important character after that.
You know what was interesting, though, is in the first season, Professor Stein is really hesitant on helping Team Arrow, you know, like when he's two halves. Team Flash. When he's, in the first season, he doesn't really want to have anything to do with Ronnie and what's going on in Star Labs. And he thinks he's above everything, even though he just kind of wants to get it fixed and move on. Yeah. But it seems like after what happens to Ronnie, he wants to become a bigger part of the whole as a team in general.
Yeah, throughout the comic books too, he's always the main face to Firestorm. He has found other people that he has merged with. There's no way you can really get rid of him unless he dies, but if he dies, it's going to be a whole nuclear explosion at the same time.
So one of the things that was interesting, because so most of the story does take place with Stein, but we get a little further into the story of Iris and what's going on with Joe and what's going on with Iris's mom at the time. Now, what'd you think about that one, man? Like, in that, like, not necessarily what happened, but it does sort of seem like this is going to play a bigger role further down the line. Now, what do you think is going to, like, what do you think that's going to evolve into?
It's eventually going to set the tone for, of course, the mother most likely passing away, and she's going to end up meeting the family that she never got a chance to ever meet. And this is probably where it's going to start conflicting a lot. I really think it's going to be conflicting a lot. It's going to be a lot of unsettled. I think it's going to be like a lot of unsettled emotions, and it's going to be very fiery.
You think it's going to really hurt Iris down the lines? Because in the episode, you do see her sit down with her mom and start talking with her, but she does definitely side with Joe. Iris tells her, like, look, it's nice that you want to be around right now, but understand that I really don't have much interest in being any part of you, like even being any part of your life, really, because you weren't a part of mine. You think she'll grow to regret that?
Most likely, but you've mentioned it from last season that she was very dull. She really didn't have a whole emotional part throughout the whole entire series until now, where she's actually her own character finally. And this is going to be it's going to be a very pivotal role for her, because she's going to be, where first her mom comes out of nowhere, confronts her, actually talks to her, and she just pretty much tells her off the whole entire time. And now she has that idea where it's like, well, crap, she just came into my life. I'm a little bit emotional right now, but I'm trying not to show any emotion.
I do like that it adds some complexity to Iris' character, because mm-hmm. I always thought there was more there. And Joe, to me, was such a great character that whenever I saw him in scenes with her, I kind of just wanted there to be a little bit more going on. And now that it is, man, it's sort of like,
oh, man,
it just makes everything that much better. And it's justifiable, because Barry's supposed to be in love with Iris, but because she doesn't really do much throughout the first season, it's kind of hard to see. Now you're seeing this very strong, this very like three-dimensional character, and you start understanding like why Barry has that interest in her.
Also, the changing of the timeline plays a big role in that too.
Well, yeah, that's true. It just sort of like has him when he reset time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's also interesting, and speaking of like Barry's love interest, is that we're seeing some more interaction between him and Patty Spivot, and let me just say that every scene they're both in just seems like quirky and pretty cute and awkward.
And awkward.
They have really, like, I'm just saying, not only as the characters, but like actors, they have pretty good chemistry together.
They do, and it also makes you see that they're both nerds, and this is pretty much how nerds will interact with each other when it's like, oh my God, this is the first time I'm having an interaction with an actual woman. And the same thing with her. It's like, oh my God, I'm actually talking to like a cute dude.
A cute boy I like.
Yeah, it really makes you feel that, wow, they're really acting like little teenagers, and it's actually really great. I like that.
It's great to see that in the story, man, or like in the show in general, because previously you got that with Barry and Felicity, and now obviously Felicity is like, you know, not there anymore, and it's not likely to ever have that happen again. Mm-hmm. So Patty Spivot does kind of fulfill this really cool little role that really isn't taken up anymore now that Iris is, I guess, you think she's out of the picture completely as a love interest for now?
Well, as of right now, you can't really write what they're doing. That actually takes either practice or you just constantly being with that person or just being thrown into that situation. But as a love interest, Iris, I can see her later on becoming that. There is a possibility. I'm not saying because it's in the comic books, but I'm saying that it eventually will happen. There will be a time where it will happen, but it might not be this season. Maybe next season on, or maybe the fourth season. I have no idea yet, but there is a possibility. A huge possibility.
So moving further along, and this week's... I'll just go a little bit back before we talk about that.
Yeah.
So throughout the episode, we're trying to find the second half for Professor Stein. And they have two candidates. And one of the people is Henry Hewitt. He's a scientist. I can't remember what field he is exactly.
He is a chemical. It was a chemical engineer.
It was a chemical engineer?
Yeah, he's came from a prestigious school. And as soon as Caitlin started talking about him, everything else, Stein immediately was saying like, oh, well, looks like I found someone with the same stable mind as me.
Yeah, it seemed like he had just qualifications across the board, because they also, well, they go talk to Hewitt, and they approach him about the prospect of being the other half of Firestorm. Mm-hmm. And then he comes into Star Labs, and wouldn't you know it, nothing.
Yeah, the fusion was, you can see that it was starting up really well, and then it just immediately died. Now,
dare I say it, there were no sparks between Professor Stein and Henry Hewitt.
I know. And then right after that transformation happened, you start seeing him go, well, what just happened? Like, and then he tried again. and nothing happens after that. And then out of nowhere, he goes ballistic.
Well, you just can't force it, man. When it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be.
And it's exact. And it's funny too, because what he says, it pretty much kind of pushed me towards most likely him becoming an evil villain. Was you shouldn't get anybody's hopes up, and then he just storms off, and I was like, oh my god.
Well, and as we saw later on in the episode, he starts developing his own meta powers that I guess remain dormant, and I think Cisco explains it, or is it Caitlin that mentions, well, we've probably jump-started his powers with what we were trying to do right now.
Yeah.
Like, his interaction with Stein is what kicked off, you know, what his powers are, and then they slowly find out that, you know, this guy is just someone completely different than what he was on paper. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a criminal record. He's got a violent past. And then, well, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And then we have, finally, after they see that it doesn't really work out with Henry, they go to Jefferson Jackson, who's the kid that we see at the beginning playing football. And he's working at a tire shop, and they kind of approach him like, hey, this is a possibility. If you want to do something different with your life than what you're doing right now, then you can come with us. And he does, you know, eventually kind of go to Star Labs. And, you know, that initial interaction between them, Stein's very apprehensive, mm-hmm. because he's just kind of, he's being condescending, really. It's just Stein being a bit of a snob.
Yeah, and the fact that, because he shared one with Ronnie, because he was a younger guy as well, and he kind of felt that the younger presence, again, is going to be arrogant. As well, just like I was at the beginning stages of Ronnie. That's why he took over the body at the beginning.
Well, Stein's also pretty snobbish in that. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense. He's an accomplished professor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jefferson, or Jax, as they go to call him, he just went from playing football in college and not even playing football in high school, I believe. Yeah. He didn't even go to college. And, like, Stein doesn't see him as an intellectual equal. Just simply because of that. So it's a bit snobbish in Stein's part. But, you know, it makes sense. It's like you're gonna share a mind with this person. It'd be nice to share it with an equal.
Exactly. But going back a little bit on that subject, they did their research on some of these characters as well. And actually, Caitlin brought them up for both of them. Jax actually had like a 4.0 in high school. He was close to being a valedictorian in his high school. But the only reason why he didn't go to college was, one, he tore his ACL when that accident happened. So, and he found that was his ticket to try and get into college, because he really couldn't afford it because he was poor. And since Caitlin kind of brought that up, it's like, you have a 4.0, you're a very intelligent individual, and you didn't go to college. Like, you're just throwing your life away. And that kind of set him off to just storm off and didn't want to be involved in this after that.
Yeah, he gets called out, and it's probably something that the character thought about it ahead of time. It's like, he somewhere deep down, Jax probably knew, like, look, I could do so much more, but I'm not. And I think he felt like a bit of an underachiever, and that's sort of like what set him off, really. That's probably what got him mad, the fact that Caitlin might have been saying things that he might have been thinking himself.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when the whole world gets turned around on you and it's being thrown in your face again, showing you that you should be more, but you're actually less than what you really are. And that is kind of a dick move to what Caitlin does. It shows like how cold she can really be. Well, not like that, in that sense, but also the fact that you realize that she lost Ronnie still. She really hasn't dealt with she hadn't really dealt with all that. And she loved Hewitt more as the main candidate than Jax.
Well, that's true. So later on in the episode, we finally do see, we see Henry Hewitt just activate his powers accidentally, really, in like a fit of rage, and kill one of the scientists that's there. And they kind of realize at Star Labs, they realize like, oh, my bad. Turns out that this guy is not who we thought he was. Nope. And he just activated his powers. So when Caitlin finally, after they have their huge like moment, Caitlin finally goes back to talk to Jefferson. She gets confronted by Henry Hewitt, who is now, what do they call him? Tokamak.
Tokamak.
Tokamak. And And I guess he's there to really, like, well, he follows Caitlyn there to see who's the better candidate,
mm-hmm.
to see who's the person that is going to be what, essentially, what Hewitt wanted to be.
Exactly. And it's really, it really shows his obsession for that, but which is great because from the comic books as well, he has that same obsession as well to become the Firestorm or even kill the Firestorm, which is really, really intensely good. I like how they stuck exactly to the origins.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I didn't really realize, like, what kind of role he fulfilled in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to see him back. Like, I want to see him there because he seemed like a pretty cool villain. Also, his powers seemed a lot like Firestorm's, except much more fusion reactor than, like, Bonfire.
Oh, yeah. His rage, they even said it when they were fighting him when he was confronting the Flash and also Firestorm as well. He takes his power from anger, so he absorbs more power and he gets stronger by the angrier he gets. But also it could lead to his downfall if he just absorbs too much.
So finally, because of Tokamak or Henry Hewitt, mm-hmm. like because of his actions, it leads Jefferson to finally be like, all right, I'll fuse, at least for now, I'll fuse with Stein and we're just gonna confront and we're just gonna deal with this guy right now. Mm-hmm. Now I actually like the special effects they used in this episode as opposed to in season one whenever they had Firestorm. It always looked a little, I don't know, just a little odd. It sort of feels like whoever is doing the special effects now for Firestorm, it just seems totally different and considerably better, actually, from my point of view.
It seems like they got the fire down a lot better because on the other one, it was too orangey. There was not enough yellow, I want to say. This one had more yellow to it. I was like, all right, it's a great mixture, a bit better. And the way how his head flamed up, that was really nice.
Well, Jackson, also Ronnie looked, he was an interesting looking Firestorm, but I don't know. I like how Jackson looks as Firestorm. He looks cooler. Maybe just because he's younger. Or I don't know.
And more personality than an actual.
Jackson does definitely. Jackson definitely seems like he's got a lot more attitude, at least.
More spunk.
Yeah, Ronnie was a lot more reserved. And I mean, it's understandable because all you really learn of the character is how insanely frustrated and just mad he is at the fact that he lost his whole life. So yeah, I get that why we didn't get much of Ronnie, but I'm liking Jax as a Firestorm right now. So at the end of the episode, we deal with Tokamak, and so finally Joe gives Barry some interesting advice, and that is, you know, yeah, he's been in love with Irish for a long time. You know, it's funny. We haven't really talked much about Barry this whole thing, mm-hmm. but it really wasn't too much about him. If you really think about it,
no,
really most of the episode was about the side characters, which is great because you do want to see these characters fleshed out a bit more. And I think to me, that's what makes a great TV show.
Them very well.
Yeah. That's what makes a great TV show to me. Mm-hmm. The fact that you get such rich side characters. So as I was saying, Joe finally gives Barry some great advice, which is basically like, look, I get that you're in love with Iris. I understand that. And to an extent, you probably always will be. But it's not a bad idea to, you know, look at other people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, try to explore what could happen if you just interact with them that way. And he's specifically talking about Patty.
Patty.
So as Barry kind of makes up his mind to go ask Patty out, all of a sudden in front of Jitters, you see what looks like a street shark.
That is King Shark. He is he's one of the villains, but he's not really a big pivotal one in the comic books. He makes his appearance once in a while. He's how can I put it this way? He is the random one that you can just beat up, and then once the next villain actually comes in, that's the one where the real fight happens.
He's more of a goon, like a lieutenant to a captain.
Yeah, his backstory is actually pretty weird. He's from Hawaii. Which it's pretty weird to think about that he's from Hawaii. He had a weird mutation and that caused him to pretty much become the man.
To become a street shark.
The King Shark, yeah.
I just love it because like when I saw him, I was like, oh my God, they're making a street shark. Like I thought, like they could definitely make a street shark live action show.
They can. It was pretty funny when I first saw it. I was like, oh, crap.
He looked great. Yeah, and then as we're seeing that, right at the end, we see Harrison Wells shoot the street shark. And incapacitate him. and just kind of stand there looking like a badass, dude.
And then Barry, well, he's the Flash right now. He's actually dressed up as the Flash.
Yeah.
Zips in front of him. He's all like, and he goes, "Why'd you do that?" And he's like, "Well, I'm Harrison Wells. I'm here to help you." And then it just, and that's how that episode pretty much just ends.
I just love the very like Terminator moment of, "Come with me if you want to leave."
Pretty much. And you know what's funny too? This episode actually got me to, one of these times I really didn't like how Caitlin was going around, because as being one of the, pretty much the main supporting character on this one. If you see, if you saw the episode, you'll see what I mean. When she brought up the two candidates, how the their alleles pretty much messed up in their actual genetic coding, Cisco pointed it out too in the actual episode. He saw that Jefferson's was actually a better candidate by just by like a few more percentage. But she's like, "No, I want Hewitt to be the main candidate." She's a scientist. She's a geneticist as well. And she pretty much pointed out something that should have been a guaranteed. Like that kind of, I don't know, that kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for her to be like that. But I guess for the episode to work, you need that conflict. Even though it doesn't technically make sense. No. They're like, let's just overlook it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, let us know what you guys think of the episode. We, as always, we're definitely enjoying the show. And the show's been getting better and better. Let us know what you thought of the Street Shark and what you think Harrison Wells' role is going to be. And how you think his role is going to evolve throughout this season. So go ahead and drop us a line at podcast@film-book.com. And if you want to see the kind of other hijinks Christian and I get up to, you can go ahead and check out our Facebook page. That's League of Ordinary Gents on Facebook. Or if you look us up on YouTube, that's going to be League of Gents. That's going to be G-E-N-T-S. So hope you guys like what you see. Have a good one, guys.
Enjoy it.